we get to focus in and zero in on the promises of Yahweh. And now we're part 18. And I like to look at the promises because it's not all about commands. It's about what Yahweh wants to do for us. The commands are what he wants to do in us. And the promises is what he's going to do in us and for us. And we're going to be talking about that. And we need that. We need that because we need to keep looking to Yahshua, the author and finisher of our faith. And these witnesses we're surrounded by. Help us to lay aside every weight. And also, like him, focus on this joy that's set before us. So, let's take a look here at some promises we've covered, actually just in the last week. Yahshua, one day in the age to come, in the millennium, it says, he will be visibly seen in his beauty, and one will look upon Zion, Jerusalem, as a quiet home, a tabernacle that will not be taken down. Could I fix that? There will be a stream that flows from under the temple to the Dead Sea and Mediterranean Sea, causing waters to burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Alongside the water, there will be trees bearing fruit each month to eat and leaves for medicine. The Dead Sea will be healed and be a place where fishermen can catch fish. This is all predicted. None of this has taken place yet. The inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be sick. The blind will have their eyes opened. I'll fix that too. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing. A highway of holiness will be created where only those who are clean can pass. Those who walk this road will not go astray, even if they are a fool. There the ransomed of Yahweh shall come to Zion with singing, everlasting joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Yahshua will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. We shall renew strength, mount up with wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not be faint. The fruit trees and field will be increased, and there will be no more famine in the land. The descendants of Israel and Judah, who were formerly not repentant believers in Yahshua, will come alive from their spiritual deadness, brought into a wilderness area, caused to be passed under the rod, so that he can purge out the rebels who will not enter the land of Israel. And so those are some promises in Ezekiel and many other places that we covered in part 17. And the questions we're going to address in today's study is, what does it mean when Yahweh promises everyone will say, surely in Yahweh I have righteousness and strength? Who is the seed that Yahshua sees in Isaiah 53:10? What is this, or who is this mysterious arm of Yahweh? Who are the ones mourning in Zion that Yahweh will console and give them beauty for ashes? Yahshua stopped in the middle of quoting Isaiah 61, verse 2. Why? Will there be an earthly priesthood in a thousand-year reign? When exactly will every knee bow to Yahweh and Yahshua? What encouragement does Yahweh give Torah-observant believers who were insulted and reproached? What scriptures prove that circumcision and the clean-unclean laws will be observed when Yahshua returns to set up his new covenant reign? Where can we prove the Apostle Paul teaches we should observe the clean and unclean commands? What scripture assures us that one day all of his people will know his name, see eye to eye, and sing together in unison? What is so beautiful about the feet of those that bring the good news of the kingdom? So those are questions we're going to address in today's study. You can actually see a full list of the promises of Yahweh at Eliyahu.com/POY. So now, I'm going to warn you ahead of time. Today's study is loaded. It is loaded. It's going to take some concentration. Some people might have to go through it twice. Because of the promise and the depth of those promises actually caused Paul the Apostle to be widely misunderstood. And for that reason, we have to understand and comprehend why he's saying what he's saying. And we're going to find out exactly why he's saying what he's saying as we start here, as we resume in the book of Isaiah, here in chapter 45 and verse 22. Yahweh says, look to yourself and be saved? No, he says, look to me, right? Look to me and be saved. Pardon me. Trying to get the pointer to show up. And there we go. Pen. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am Elohim and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. Now, when Yahweh says he's going to swear something by himself, pay attention. Because something significant is about to be said, okay? Just like when he says, I swear by myself, Abraham, your descendants will inherit this land. Look at all the things that Yahweh did to cause the children of Israel to inherit that land. He says, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in Yahweh I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In Yahweh, all the descendants of Israel shall be what? Justified and shall glory. So only in Yahweh can we receive justification. And we know how justification comes. It comes through Yahshua the Messiah. That's how we are able to obtain justification, by faith in Yahshua the Messiah. And that's all predicted in the prophets. In Isaiah especially speaks a lot about justification by faith. And it's not just a Pauline doctrine. It is a biblical doctrine stretching back to really the beginning, but we can see it quite clearly here in Isaiah 45. All right, so look at Isaiah 53 and read about the Messiah Yahshua. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? Remember that for later. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Clearly, this is Yahshua the Messiah. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by Elohim and afflicted. But he was wounded for his transgressions? No, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, so we could have peace, our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed of all things. We are raised from the dead. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. I love this statement here. And Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Since our sin was laid on him, pay close attention, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He's like a lamb going to a sacrifice. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? I will. He was cut off from the land of the living. It means he was killed. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Not for his own, but for the transgressions of Yahweh's people. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. Why would he be happy about it? He put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an asham, in Hebrew, offering for sin, asham, he shall see, not his seed, just seed. He shall prolong days. Now, even though he is sacrificed, he's going to see children. His days will be prolonged. He's going to be resurrected. And the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. Justification through this suffering servant. For he shall bear our sins. That's what a sacrifice is there for, to bear the sin for you. To transfer the sin to the one that's offering. So, this is why he's called in Jeremiah 23, Yahweh our righteousness, because Yahweh knew we needed an intercessor. Isaiah 59 verse 15 says, so truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Boy, isn't that the truth? Then Yahweh saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he, this is talking about Yahshua, put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, was clad with zeal as a cloak. These are very similar scriptures. He wonders no intercessor. Who was the one that made intercession for the transgressors? That was Yahshua. Isaiah 53 says he made intercession for the transgressors. And here it says it's his righteousness, his own righteousness, that sustains Yahweh. That's why Yahshua is called Yahweh our righteousness, Jeremiah 23 verse 5, because Yahweh imparted to him righteousness. Even Yahshua says, why do you call me good? There's one good, Elohim. And so Yahweh imparted his righteousness to his son Yahshua, and then that righteousness, because we become a part of his body, flow to us through Yahshua the Messiah, who, when we join to his body, our history becomes his history, our sins transferred to him, we're crucified with Messiah, it's no longer we that live, it's he that lives in us. And so by that, Yahweh's own arm brings salvation for us, so we can have salvation. Actually, it says in Isaiah 40 in verse 10, it says, behold, the Master Yahweh shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. His arm shall rule for him. Who's at the right hand of Yahweh? Messiah Yahshua is at the right hand of Yahweh, and so he's called the arm of Yahweh, his right hand man, right? Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. So if Yahweh, his arm rules for him, it means he himself is not going to rule in and of himself. It's going to be through his arm, and that arm is the Messiah, Yahshua. But to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? To us. But there's a whole nation of people who have not had that revealed to them. We know that. The Jewish people do not have Yahshua revealed. Well, more and more it's happening. More and more it's happening. But and so the arm of Yahweh, the righteousness of Yahweh, sustains him. The true servant of Isaiah 53, all of these are pointing to Messiah Yahshua, and he is able to make us righteous. So we continue. Isaiah 40, verse 10 through 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. And so the arm of Yahweh is going to rule on his behalf. His arm shall rule for him. His reward is with him. His work is before him. And he will feed the flock. What's he going to feed the flock with? His good word, right? His good word. Praise Yahweh. And this is the Messiah who is likened unto a shepherd and other messianic prophecies here. And so truth fails. He who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Yahweh saw it, displeased him, there was no justice, and wondered there was no man, and saw there was no man, wondered there was no intercessor, therefore his own arm brought salvation for him. His own righteousness is what is going to sustain Yahweh in his demand for our righteousness. And so since Yahshua put on this righteousness as a breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He is the one that we look to be saved. But he's also putting on garments of vengeance. That's when he returns, for and clad with zeal as a cloak. Verse 18, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of Yahweh will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion. And to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says Yahweh, as for me, says Yahweh, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, from this time and forever. And so in the context of Yahweh's own righteousness being sufficient, his own arm bringing salvation, and his arm ruling on his behalf, we have a promise of a new covenant where his spirit will be upon the children of Israel, and that spirit will be not just on them, but on their children and their children's children. When has this ever happened? This is going to happen when the Messiah returns and he regathers Israel again. When the apostles were saying, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Like, they knew all these promises that there was going to be an Israelite kingdom established again in the earth. And he says, not for you to know. It's not for you to know. But it's going to happen. It's not for you to know when. And so this is what it's talking about here, this promise of a coming kingdom where Yahshua is going to rule. Israel is going to be reestablished as a holy nation, and the Holy Spirit will be upon them and upon their children and their grandchildren. And so this is all fully going to be represented by the new covenant. This is the new covenant. And this is, he said, this is my covenant with them, right? He says, this is my covenant with them. The Holy Spirit is going to be upon Israel. So behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Why does everyone say that the Jews, that old covenant's with the Jews, the new covenant's, oh, what's with us? And as if the house of Israel, house of Judah has nothing to do with the new covenant. Well, here it is. This is the same parties are involved. It's just a new covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the land I took them, in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. So it's not a renewed covenant, as some would say. It's a new covenant. It's not according to the former covenant. And it says, but this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And so with the law being in the hearts, how does it get there? It gets there by the Holy Spirit. Well, why is the Holy Spirit there? Because Yahshua is taking residence in that place, and he is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. If he's the living Word, then him dwelling in our hearts and our minds enables the Torah also to be in our hearts and our minds. And no more shall every man teach his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says Yahweh, for I will forgive their iniquity. This is the promise of the new covenant. This is why the new covenant has a better promise. A promise he will forgive their iniquity, and sin he will remember no more. And that is a beautiful, beautiful promise that we can grab a hold of, believe in, embrace, and walk out. So this is actually, much of this is going to be, you know, is full fulfillment when Yahshua comes back, and the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. And everyone will know him. No one will say, well, who's Yahweh? He's the king of the whole world. And everyone will know that when Yahshua comes to set up his 1,000-year reign. And so this covenant enables all the house of Israel to be justified. See, this is how justification takes place, is by this covenant. And this is why sins are forgiven. So, this is the statement that everyone is going to say. Surely in Yahweh I have righteousness. We're not going to be able to say, surely in and of myself I have righteousness. No. We're going to say, surely only in Yahweh do I have any righteousness at all. How'd that happen? That happened because Yahshua came, became that sacrifice of Isaiah 53. Upon him was laid the iniquity of us all. And he filled us with his spirit. As he takes residence in us, we become a part of his body. And by that, we receive justification. That means we are declared righteous, not by some act that we've done, but by what he wants to do and will do in us. And this is why it's important that everyone on the planet will knee, every knee will bow, every tongue will take an oath and say, only in Yahweh do I have any righteousness at all. And only in him do I have any strength to walk in righteousness. I can't do it on my own. I need his spirit in me to enable me to have the strength to walk in righteousness. It's interesting that a lot of times people say, well, I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me, except keep the law. I can't do that. Well, wait a minute. He says, through him we have strength and we have righteousness. So we have both righteousness and the strength through his power in us to do all things. And I believe that is a true statement. Now, here's another scripture that's going to line up with what we've said so far. First, though, we want to look at this promise. This promise is every knee shall bow. Every single one will bow to Yahweh and Yahshua, taking an oath saying, surely in Yahweh I have righteousness and strength. Now, let's look at Isaiah 61. It says, this is actually Yahshua speaking here. It says, the spirit of the Master Yahweh is upon me because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Sion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called, what? Trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he may be glorified. And so we are his planting. We didn't plant ourselves. We are his planting, and he's enabled us to be righteous, and so we are called trees of righteousness. And the ashes that we would normally receive through the burning of a lake of fire, we're going to be given beauty instead on our head. It's the same word describing the beautiful head covering of the high priest. And he's going to give us oil of joy instead of mourning. So no weeping, no gnashing of teeth, instead of oil of joy and a garment of praise. That's a robe of righteousness instead of a spirit of heaviness. And so Yahshua actually quoted this same scripture in the synagogue in Luke chapter 4. He said, the spirit of Yahweh is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh. And then he stopped. Because what's next? What's next is the day of vengeance. But he stopped there, and he said, he closed the book, says he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And so he is the one that is spoken of here. The day of vengeance is something he's going to do later, but for now, these things have met their fulfillment through this preaching of the good news, the gospel. The word good news means good, would mean gospel. And so, to console those who mourn in Sion and so forth. But we see, as a result, we are called trees of righteousness and something that Yahweh himself gets the credit for having planted. We did not plant ourselves. And so, you might wonder, Are there people who are going to be mourning? Who won't understand what's going on? Yes. There will be people who will be mourning when the Messiah returns. It says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 through 30, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heavens shall be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Interesting. Another scripture, Revelation 1:7, he's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Even those who pierced him? I mean, are they going to be resurrected so they can see the Messiah coming? And then, well, I don't think so. I'll explain why in a minute. But let's look at another scripture. Zechariah 12:9 says, "It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." This is when the Messiah returns. And it says, "I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they will look on me whom they pierced." Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimon, the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of Shimei by itself, and their wives by themselves, all the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. And so this mourning that will take place was because they're going to realize Yahshua HaMashiach, the one they pierced. Well, how did they pierce him? Well, we're a part of the body of Messiah, and they were the ones persecuting us. And so they're going to realize that we were his people, and we were being persecuted. In that sense, they did pierce the body of Messiah and pierce the Messiah. Because it's appointed for men to die once, and so, and then after that, the judgment. So he's not going to resurrect that generation that pierced him and say, "Here, now mourn for me." Now, the day will probably come when they are resurrected and they'll realize they're being judged, that they will mourn at that time, but then it'll be too late for them. So, all right. So, get back here to this beautiful promise here. The Spirit of Yahweh being upon us and upon his people and upon him, because that Spirit's in Messiah. That Spirit will be imparted to us, and that Spirit is imparted to the people that will be surviving Yahshua's return and regathering Israel. And they are the ones, and the other tribes of the earth will be the ones that were actually mourning, reigning over. Okay? And just as he has done this for us today, we can say that we have something called beauty for righteous, for ashes, oil of joy for mourning. We have the garment of praise, the robe of righteousness, and we are the trees of righteousness, a planting by Yahweh. It's going to be something that will also be done for those who survive the Messiah's return. And so this is all a beautiful promise from the holy word of Yahweh, and so we're going to add this to our promises. It says Yahweh will give a spirit of grace and supplication, comforting all who mourn for Yahshua who was pierced, consoling those who mourn in Sion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that he, not us, that he may be glorified. Praise Yahweh. And then it says, "And they shall rebuild the old ruins, There's cities next to the ruined cities. Like the town was called Shiloh. They call it Shiloh over there. There's Tel Shiloh, and that's when they say Tel something, that means the old version of the same town. And they don't build a new town on top of the archaeological remains of former towns. They build it close by, but not usually right there on top of the archaeological remains of former towns. And so those old towns that are still there are going to be rebuilt and raise up former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities and the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of Yahweh, and they shall call you the servants of our Elohim. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. In their glory you shall boast. And so there'll be priests once again in the land. You'll be named the priests of Yahweh. And so let's add these things to our promises here. The physical descendants of Israel will rebuild the old ruins, raise up former desolations, repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Foreigners shall stand and feed the flocks of Israel, and the sons of the foreigner will be their plowmen and vine dressers. And then others will call Israel the servants of our Elohim, and they shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. In their glory they shall boast. So continue to read verse 7. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, Yahweh, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make with them an everlasting covenant. There's that covenant again, that new covenant. There's multiple scriptures that talk about the new covenant throughout the prophets. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are the posterity whom Yahweh has blessed. Praise Yahweh. And so let's go ahead and add these to the promises as well. That Israel will have a double portion, a double honor instead of shame, rejoicing instead of confusion, possessing double with everlasting joy. Yahweh will use us to direct their work in truth, and they will receive the everlasting new covenant, even as we have. Israel's descendants will be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people, and all who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom Yahweh has blessed. These are promises in the word of Yahweh. Do not be slow to believe the prophets. They will happen. They will happen. What version of the nation of Israel that's there today is nothing more than a foreshadowing. What's there today is actually spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, according to the book of Revelation. So I wouldn't be looking to that as a fulfillment of all these things. There's going to be a greater fulfillment than these. So let's go. It's all we'll see here. It actually all ties in with this promise here, to look to Yahweh and be saved. All the ends of the earth, not just Israel, all the ends of the earth. He's the only Elohim. We can't save ourselves, right? And so he says, I've sworn by myself, the word's gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. To me, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath and say, only in Yahweh do I have righteousness. Surely in Yahweh I have righteousness and strength, and only in Yahweh are we justified, right? This is what it's talking about when Paul says, Romans 14, 11, it's written, as I live, says Yahweh, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to Elohim. So everyone will give an account of himself to Elohim. And so this is a promise that Paul is repeating. He repeats it also here in a kind of a paraphrased way. It says, Elohim therefore has highly exalted him, talking about Yahshua, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Yahshua every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yahshua is Master, to the glory of Elohim the Father. And so since Yahshua is the one through whom we receive righteousness, Everyone will have to confess he's the master over us. He's the only righteous one, because in him is Yahweh's righteousness. Now, those who were destroyed at Yahshua's coming, they will be ashamed, but they will not inherit eternal life. Those who died in their sins and refused to bow their knee today to Yahshua the Messiah, they'll one day bow the knee to him on Judgment Day after the 1,000-year reign, the White Throne Judgment. But there will be a generation of people on earth, it says specifically in the prophets, that will survive the coming of Yahshua the Messiah. That these are the ones ruling and reigning over unbelievers, both Gentiles and Israelites. They're all going to bow the knee at that time and declare it's only through Yahshua that we receive any righteousness at all, and that we're able to be justified. The word justified means to be declared righteous. Only through him, his righteousness, can we be declared righteous. And so this is a call for all of the world to receive Yahshua the Messiah and say, only in him do I have any righteousness at all. And this is why Paul repeats this over and over and over and over again. He says this very thing, only in Yahweh do you have righteousness, when he says, Romans 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is that they may be saved, that they may look to Yahweh and be saved, right? That's what he just said, look to me and be saved, right? His desire is to look to Yahweh for salvation. For I bear them witness they have a zeal for Elohim, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of Elohim's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to this righteousness of Elohim that he promises we are all going to receive if we want it and be justified by it. If we want that, you see what's being said here? The thing that Paul is saying is no different than what has already been declared in the prophets, that the law cannot save you. That's why the Messiah is the end of the law for righteousness. The law cannot give you righteousness. A standard can't make you righteous. A standard can't change your heart. A standard is just a standard. It doesn't change the inside of you. We need Yahshua to not only change the inside of us by cleansing us of all sin, but by also by the Holy Spirit empowering us to be overcomers. And so we're not in this Romans 7 condition where we're powerless because of the sin that dwells in us. But we're in a Romans 8 condition where we are free from that condition because of this strength that is promised us, that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so these promises are true, and we can grab a hold of them and we can believe in them. And so every knee will bow to Yahweh and Yahshua, taking an oath, saying, surely in Yahweh I have righteousness and strength. Only in him. No error there. All of the true children of Israel will be justified through the new covenant and shall glory. When I say true children of Israel, it's because that new covenant is only with Israel and Judah. But if we become a part of the body of Messiah, then we become seed of Abraham. Seed of Abraham is Israel, right? Jacob, Israel. And so then we can be partakers of that covenant as well. But there's still unique promises for the physical descendants of Abraham. There are. And we read about them. But we will not be, we'll be spiritual beings. We'll have spiritual bodies. And we're going to be that voice behind them, directing everyone on the earth to walk in righteousness. And we will be their teachers. Their eyes will see their teachers, and people will come to Jerusalem on the new moons and on the Sabbath days, according to Isaiah 66, and they will learn the Torah, according to Isaiah 66, Isaiah 3, 4, 5, many scriptures, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, all right. I love this particular promise because it's speaking directly to us. It says, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, You who seek Yahweh, look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So this is the remnant he's speaking of. For Yahweh will comfort Sion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Well, we look to Abraham because he says, I called him alone. I called him alone and I blessed him and I increased him. There wasn't anybody else. He was a lonely road that Abraham had to travel. And that's true for us. It's a lonely road sometime. And so he says, remember, Abraham was the only one I called. And he answered the call. And so those of us who are seeking after righteousness and seeking Yahweh, look at where Abraham, if we're a seed of Abraham, look at Abraham. Abraham was alone sometimes. And many of you watching and broadcast today, the reason why you're here watching it is because you are alone. You don't have many people to fellowship with on a normal Sabbath. And so other people watch this later in the day. But it says, for Yahweh will comfort Sion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden. I mean, imagine how amazing Eden had to be. And the garden of Yahweh himself planted it and placed Adam in it. I promise you, there's no garden on the earth like Eden. And her desert like the garden of Yahweh. And joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And listen, he says, listen. Oh, must listen to me, my people. Give ear to me, O my nation. For law, Torah, will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands, the Gentiles, will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. That's Messiah Yahshua. And arms, because we are going to be extension of Messiah Yahshua. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. So his righteousness is going to continue, even if the earth doesn't. And so we know that there will be a new heavens and new earth one day. And the present heavens will vanish away like smoke, and the present earth. But his salvation will not vanish, and his righteousness will not vanish. So let's add these to our promises. Yahweh will comfort Sion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. The Gentiles and the coastlands will wait upon Yahweh and they'll trust in Yahshua. Yahweh's salvation will be forever and his righteousness will never be abolished. His righteousness cannot be abolished. Well, what is righteousness? What is it? Good question. Let's keep reading Isaiah 51. Listen to me, you who know righteousness. You people in whose heart is my Torah. He's talking to us still. He's not done. He says, do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults. Yes, you'll be called a Jew or a legalist or whatever. They'll call you names. Don't be afraid of them, he says. Don't be afraid of them. Moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever. His righteousness. We know righteousness because we have his Torah in our hearts. And because his Torah is in our hearts, we walk as Yahshua walked, keeping the Torah. But his righteousness is not going to be established. It's not going to be changed or abolished. His righteousness is forever. His salvation is from generation to generation. So don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. Now, some people who may call you legalists may do it ignorantly. You know, I'm not condemning them. But there are others, they know you're right, but they're not gonna bow. And their heart's not really repentant. And Yahweh knows who is who. I'm not going to pretend to know. But since his righteousness will not be abolished, we have the Torah in our hearts. We know what righteousness really is. The righteousness found in traditional Christianity and traditional Judaism is not the true Torah. The true Torah is the Torah, not traditions of men and traditional replacement theology and systematic theology and dispensationalist theology. The truth is here, that we know righteousness because his Torah is in our hearts. And the Torah is in our hearts that's going to reflect in the outer layer through obedience to the Torah. Very simple. Not complicated at all. But both religions tend to replace commandments with traditions and traditional theology. So, and thereby they define righteousness differently than Yahweh does, whereas those who follow his Torah know what true righteousness is. So, when they reproach you, he said, don't be afraid. Just as heaven and earth grow, those who trust in the earthly things will be consumed with it. Those who trust in men and their theologies rather than Yahweh are in spiritual danger. And so we cry out, that, well, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of Yahweh. Who's that? That's Yahshua. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Are you not the arm that cut Rahab apart? Are you not the arm cut Rahab apart? Interesting. Well, in another place in Isaiah, Rahab calls Egypt Rahab. So that's what he's referring to, Egypt. And wounded the serpent, that's Messiah Yeshua. He bruised the head of the serpent, right? So awake, awake, arm of Yahweh, put on strength. Are you not the one who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, and made the depths of the sea a road for the redeemed to cross over? Yes, he is. He's the one that was there. That arm of Yahweh was there. He was the one doing these things. So the ransomed of Yahweh shall return, same way, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Once again, in the same way, they crossed the sea, the Red Sea, and they went into the land of Egypt. We also, as the ransomed of Yahweh, shall return, and those who are the physical descendants of Israel will walk on the highway of holiness. We talked about last week, or last segment, I should say, the highway of holiness, and through joy and gladness, the sorrow and the sighing will flee away, because now is a time of salvation. Now is a time when they are fine, when we and they, all of us are finally ransomed, bought back. Praise Yahweh. Actually, this last promise in verse 11 is actually identical to another scripture in Isaiah. I think it's 35:10. Same exact words. So he repeats it twice. You know, when Yahweh repeats something twice, it's going to be significant. He repeats this twice. And so the one who bruised the serpent is going to cause us to return. We meet him in the air, and we'll rule and reign with him forever. He says, I, even I, am he who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die? The Son of Man will be made like grass. Again, he's encouraging us who have received the Torah in our hearts and know righteousness. He says, you forget Yahweh, your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You feared continually every day because of the fear of the oppressor when he has prepared to destroy. And where is the fear of the oppressor? The captive exile hastens that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, and his bread should not fail. But I am Yahweh, your Mighty One, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. Yahweh of hosts is his name. I have put my words in your mouth. Why? Because it's in your heart. In your heart is his Torah, and so his words in your mouth. I've covered you with the shadow of my hand. That right hand of Yahweh has a hand attached to it. And that hand is the hand that covered Moshe, so he wouldn't have to see and be killed by the brightness of Yahweh passing by. That I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people. So there's going to be a heaven planted and earth planted, and there will be a new heavens and new earth, and we'll get to that in a later segment. But beautiful, beautiful promise here. There will be a heaven and earth that will be, once again, a new Jerusalem. Not going to quite look like that, but you get the idea. But we'll talk about that more in a future segment. But looking now in chapter 52, continue reading here. Awake, awake, put on strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Right now, if you look at Jerusalem, it looks like a captive daughter. I mean, it's four religions all got their quarters, and it's like a tornado. And it's a merchant place, or a lot of people go there and buy and buy and buy. I was excited to go there, but yes, kind of been overtaken by people making a claim on the land that I don't necessarily know that they'll be there in this age to come, but we'll see. Some of them might be. But what's interesting here is it says the uncircumcised and the unclean shall not enter Jerusalem. If this law of circumcision and the law of clean and unclean is all done away with, then why is this a thing anymore when Yahshua returns and sets up his reign? Well, you see, we're going to get into this. We get into Ezekiel. It's an amazing book. It says, the priests will teach the people the difference between the holy and the unholy and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. It's still a thing. And there will be priests teaching people what the difference is. And it actually says, thus says the Master Yahweh, no foreigner uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh shall enter my sanctuary, including any foreigner who's among the children of Israel. And so at this time, when Yahshua returns, the whole world's going to know truth. The whole world's going to hear Torah. And so it's not like it's going to be a mystery. Now, when Paul was trying to preach to Gentiles, Jewish people were coming along with their scalpels saying, well, here we go. Let's circumcise them. Hold back. You know, first of all, you're misrepresenting the gospel. The gospel was not get circumcised and get saved. And secondly, this is not the time and place for that. If Yahweh wants to lead them like he did Timothy, okay, we'll circumcise Timothy. But that's a personal decision. Should have been done on the eighth day. And so when the whole world is being ruled, and we're going to reign over the whole world, circumcision will be taught. Even Paul said in Galatians, I still preach circumcision, so why am I being persecuted? And so he's not against it. He's against it being done for the wrong reasons, such as this is your salvation. Your circumcision is your salvation. It's not your salvation. So this is still going to be a thing in the age to come, and so will clean unclean commandments be observed as well. So the uncircumcised, the unclean shall no longer enter the city of Jerusalem. Now, when the new heavens and new earth are created, you're not going to have this clean and unclean thing going on. We're all going to have spiritual bodies, right? Not going to be a circumcision going on. There's not going to be sacrifices anymore. Death is thrown in the lake of fire. And so there's still a plan where, in fact, there won't even need to be a Torah anymore, because the Torah is for the unrighteous, not for the righteous. And we'll just have righteousness built into us as being incorruptible bodies. And so the corruption puts on incorruptible. And since we can't be corrupted, there's no reason for a law to correct us anymore. But until then, for those who are still capable of sinning, there still needs to be a law, not to save people, but to show people what's going on. where your trouble is. You look in the mirror, you see this thing on your face, don't forget what you saw. It's something you got to wash away. It's an alert system, right? And so it's not to save you, it's to direct you to the feet of Yahshua, who will save you as you repent and put your trust in him for the forgiveness of sins. So let's keep reading here. Now, actually, I want to mention this, that the thing that Yahweh wanted to see happen when he brought the children of Israel into the land of Israel and out of Egypt, he wanted to see a righteous nation with a righteous set of priests, and ultimately he wanted a righteous king to dwell there, and he made it happen. But they didn't want to follow that. In fact, the most righteous king they ever had, they killed him. His name was Yahshua the Messiah. And so the thing that Yahweh wanted to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're praying every day, Father, your kingdom come. Well, this is the kingdom. Your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. This is his will being done on the earth as it is in heaven. People pray that. They don't know what they're talking about sometimes because they gloss over all these kingdom scriptures, prophecies everywhere. They spiritualize it all away. And it's really silly some of the ways they try to spiritualize it away, almost like Gnostics. You know, everything's spiritual, nothing's physical. He plainly said, no one uncircumcised in spirit or in heart or in flesh is going to enter the sanctuary. No one. It's a promise, and we can count on it. It's going to happen, whether some people happen to like that or not. It's going to happen. Isaiah 52 verse 4 says, thus says Master Yahweh, my people went down first to Egypt to dwell there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without a cause. Now therefore, what have I here, says Yahweh, that my people are taken away for nothing? Those who rule over them make them wail, says Yahweh, and my name is blasphemed continually every day. So what's he going to do about it? He says, therefore, my people shall know my name. They're not going to blaspheme it. They're going to know it. Therefore, they shall know in that day, I am he who speaks. Ani hu. I am he who speaks. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. That's Yahshua, and it's us who proclaims peace, who brings good news, glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your mighty one reigns. Your mighty one, your Elohim, reigns. That's the beautiful picture. When will his people finally know his name? Well, they're ignoring it today, so he'll make sure they know it when he, you know, who brought them out of Egypt is going to bring them back into the land again, and then everyone will know his name. But how beautiful it is, the feet of those who share good news, right? So we know that as part of this message is the inclusion of Yahweh's name being proclaimed in that message. Yahshua said, I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. That's interesting. I've declared to them your name. So what? So this love that Yahweh loved Yahshua with may also be in them, and that he may be in them. That's why he declared to them the Father's name. And we see here Luke 4:18, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. We read that earlier, right? And this good news, this gospel of the kingdom, will then be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. This is actually why I do what I do. I want to see the good news of the true kingdom, not this imaginary one where, you know, people spend eternity floating on clouds playing harps, but we're actually doing something productive. In this case, we're ruling and reigning with Messiah for 1,000 years. And so we got work to do, and we have something important to do. Now, what is so beautiful about the feet of those who bring good news? Like, the feet are adorable? Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So you are standing on shoes. And these shoes is the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's what you stand, that's what your firm foundation is. You're standing on the gospel. You're standing on the good news. There is no foundation anyone can lay but Yahshua the Messiah. And the good news is, He came to bear our sin for us, and He came so that we could be made righteous. That's pretty good news. And He came to so we could proclaim this kingdom He's going to set up, and the whole world will follow after Him as the King of the whole world. And so at that time, keep reading Isaiah 52, "Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing. They shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh brings back Zion." They shall see eye to eye. And so they're going to sing together. I think about if He's going to declare His name, as people are going to know His name, and they all sing together. I mean, I know how it is. I'll go in a congregation and everyone's singing, and they're singing to the Lord God, and I'm going, Yahweh. Or other congregations, someone's saying Hashem, someone's saying Adonai, other person's saying Yahuwah, and different pronunciations. And well, at that time, we're going to see eye to eye. It'd be pretty good news, I'd say. We'll see eye to eye. I'll say the same things. So break forth into joy. Sing together, He says, "You waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh has comforted His people." Again, this is this kingdom life. It's a beautiful place, beautiful time. "And He has redeemed Jerusalem and has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations." Who's that holy arm? Yahshua HaMashiach. And so, because His holy arm, Yahshua, is made known and is revealed, all the earth, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Elohim. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I love it. This arm that's spoken of here. "The Master Yahweh shall come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for Him. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of Yahweh." Right? The one that cut Rahab, the one that wounded the serpent. Not without getting a bruise in the process. "And so to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? One day the whole earth will know. One day He will make bare, He will reveal His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our Elohim." Actually, this is very, very similar to one of the Psalms, Psalm 98. Pay close attention to what's being spoken here. "Sing to Yahweh a new song." Maybe it's the Song of the Lamb here. "For He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory." His own salvation sustained Him. His holy arm ruled for Him, right? "Yahweh has made known His salvation." That comes through repentance and faith in Yahshua, through this good news. "And this His righteousness," the one that comes from Yahshua, He did reveal in the sight of the Gentiles. The Gentiles came to know that righteousness came by faith. The Jews did not receive that. They wanted to establish their own righteousness, right? "But He has not forgotten Israel." He has not forgotten Israel. "He has remembered His mercy and His faithfulness to the house of Israel." And so He will reveal it to them one day. He will make bare His arm, and they will look upon Him whom they pierced, and they will mourn. And then all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our Elohim. Now you know why. His righteousness revealed to the Gentile people, but one day He will reveal it to them. And He's in some ways, in a small way, revealing it to them now. Almost like this foreshadowing, this rumbling that's happening. the children of Israel back in the land again. They're all messed up. They need a king. They don't need another prime minister. They need a king. They need Yahshua. And so because of this, keep reading this psalm. It says, shout joyfully all to Yahweh, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to Yahweh with the harp and the sound of the psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before Yahweh, the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Finally, the earth is not going to groan anymore. It's going to rejoice, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before Yahweh. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. And so the earth will no longer groan. The earth will rejoice. And we'll all sing together. Watchmen in Jerusalem will lift up their voices and sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahweh brings back Zion. So getting back to Isaiah 52, pay close attention here. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from where? Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of Yahweh. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For Yahweh will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel will be your rear guard. Well, he's speaking directly to those who are going to be returning to Jerusalem when he regathers Israel. But there's a spiritual application for us that Paul himself used. Your watchman? Oh, not sure why that verse is there. But this second Exodus here, there's a spiritual perspective of it that Paul brings up in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Messiah with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of Elohim with idols? For you are the temple of the living Elohim. For Elohim has said, I will dwell in them, walk among them. I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from them, from among them, and be separate, says Yahweh. He's quoting this scripture that we are reading in Isaiah 52. He says, be separate, says Yahweh. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. See, clean and unclean is still a thing, even now. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says Yahweh Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, what promises? Don't touch that unclean carcass. Don't eat it. You'll be my sons and daughters, and therefore, let's cleanse ourselves from all uncleanness, filthiness of what? Both the flesh and the spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of Elohim. And so we're still called to practice this clean, unclean stuff that people think's done away with, and Paul himself said so. Cleanse yourselves from that uncleanness. As believers in Yahshua, we see ourselves as a people who've already made this exodus from the world. And so we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. We're delivered from this house of bondage, our flesh. We're delivered from our house of bondage, our carnal bodies. And we're joined in communion to the body of the Messiah. And because we're joined in the communion of the body of Messiah, we're not going to entangle ourselves with an unequal yoke with some unbeliever in business. You're trying to walk together with an unbeliever. And so we don't have any fellowship. We don't have anything in common. And so they're going to want to go one way, and you're going to want to go another. It's not going to work. But the day will come when we who cleanse ourselves and don't touch this unclean carcasses of animals and such. He says, don't touch and cleanse ourselves of flesh and spirit. And we who refuse to eat unclean animals or touch their carcasses, he says, will be received by Yahweh as his sons and daughters. Because these things are not abolished, as many would say. And so we have to understand the difference between the clean and the unclean, because that's what true holiness is in the fear of Elohim. People think they walk in holiness. They don't know what holiness is. Over and over again, you see in Scripture, clean, that which is clean is holy, that which is unclean is unholy. Over and over and over again, all throughout the Torah and the New Testament here we see in 2 Corinthians. And so he continues with this description of one who is the arm of Yahweh. Depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her, be clean, you who bear the vessels of Yahweh. And so in our hearts, we're already coming out of Babylon. Already coming out as unclean, filthy flesh, and we are now a part of the body of Messiah. And for you shall not go out with haste, nor go with fight. Yahweh will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel will be your rear guard. And then it says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. This is Yahshua. This is the arm of Yahweh that he's describing in these scriptures. Just as many as were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle the Gentiles. The Gentiles will understand that his righteousness, a righteousness that comes by faith. Well, kings will shut their mouths at him, for what had been told them they shall see, had not been told them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. And so he asked the question, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? Boy, is it clear or what who this arm of Yahweh is? Yahshua HaMashiach. And it goes on, we read earlier, describing the suffering servant. There's 58 different characteristics in these scriptures, and every single one of them fit Yahshua perfectly. The one that bore our iniquities, became that sin offering, enabled us to become the sons and the daughters of Elohim. I hope that everyone in the sound of my voice can look at these prophecies and just marvel at the depth and width and height and just this amazing revelation and knowledge of Elohim and receive it and have this arm of Yahweh revealed to you. And that this righteousness might be in you. That you might have salvation through faith, by his grace in Yahshua the Messiah and the righteousness he wants to impart to you. As filthy as we all have been, for all have sinned and fallen short, all of us have fallen short, he can cleanse you. There's no mark he can't erase. And so, for those who have received that today and turned away from transgression and turned toward righteousness and want to walk as Yahshua did, walking as he walked, there are many great and precious promises given of what Yahweh is going to do, much of which is pretty much ignored in mainstream religion. But we see Yahshua, he says, oh, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. Don't we all? Don't we all? Until then, brothers and sisters, shod your feet with that firm foundation of Yahshua HaMashiach and him crucified, that gospel of peace, that gospel that gives shalom, that gospel that causes us to be at peace with our Maker, and proclaim it. Because there are many great promises awaiting those who receive it. One of my favorites is we'll all sing eye to eye, and we'll sing that new song. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Let's pray. Almighty Yahweh, Kadosh, 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 be your great name. We bow and worship before you. Even now, we declare with one voice, all who want to join me, speak it. Only in you do we have righteousness. Only in you do we have strength. We honor you. We bow the knee to you now, knowing that you are so awesome. We thank you for your love. Thank you for calling us out of this dark world into your marvelous light. And we praise you and we honor you. And with one voice, we praise your name. For truly yours is the kingdom and power and glory forever. In Yahshua's great name we pray. Amen.